Parshas Korach begins with the rebellion that Korach made against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash that Rashi quotes shows a connection between the end of Parshas Shlach and the beginning of Parshas Korach, that in the end of Shlach, Torah gives us the mitzvah of tzitzis, that you have to have tchelis with lovam. So the Medrash explains that Korach was making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu, he asked Shaila, if you have a garment that's any other color, and you put tzitzis in the four corners, you have to put in one or two strings of tchelis, and that solves the whole problem. You have to have a little bit of tchelis, so what's the din if the whole beged is made from tchelis? You still have to have tchelis. So Korach thought that the common sense dictates there's no need for more tchelis. The whole garment, talash and kula tchelis. What, he need another one or two strings of tchelis in the corner? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you still need tchelis. So he was making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu, based on common sense. So every discipline, every scientific discipline has its own system of logic. Let's say chemistry, physics, biology. You can't use common sense. Sometimes you can use common sense. A lot of times you can't use common sense. The same is in halacha. Halacha is a self-contained system of thought. Once in a while, common sense plays a role, and very often common sense does not play a role. So Korach thought that common sense dictates whatever. And Moshe Rabbeinu said the din is not so. Yeah, today there are a lot of people who like Korach's attitude. Common sense should paskenize all the shabbos. But if we know the din is not so, so you have to follow the halacha. Rav Soloveitchik used to explain, based on a comment that Rabbi Hirsch has, I think, in his commentary on Chumash, on the end of Parsha Shlach, that the lavan string in the corner represents those things in life that are very clear, and we understand. Like the Gemara has the comment on the Pasuk in the Parsha of Moitzi Shemra. The husband claims that his wife was Mizana, and she's Chayv Misa. So the Pasuk says, the Farsa Simlo Le'eni has came. So the simple translation is that the Shushbinim kept the sheet when they had the husband claims that she was a Ba'ula. When he came to her, she was a Ba'ula, she was not a Psul. So if I saw similar, the Pasha Pshat is that they showed the sheet that's full of blood. What kind of a proof is that? Who says that that was the same sheet? So the Chazal say, if I saw similar, the Enes came is not to be taken literally, not that Shushbinim produced the sheet that has the Dam Besulim on it. But it rather means dvarim mechuvarim kesimlo. It means that in the days of Tanakh, the common practice was that the dresses were white. Most of the time, the dresses were white. Once in a while, they had colored dresses. Not like today. Usually, most of the dresses are not white. Most of the dresses are different colors. So the Gemara says, when it says achum sheforsa hasimlo, means that eide mamazim the eide habal. It's dvarim mechuvarim kesimlo. It's clear like the white dress. Clear like the white color of a dress. So white in Lashon HaTorah represents something that's clear. Clear like the day. It's very clear. So you have to have white strings in the corner representing those parts of life and those parts of Torah that are very clear and we understand. Tchelis is Darmel Yam, Yam is Darmel Rekir, Rekir is Darmel Kisei HaKavod. No one knows what the Kisei HaKavod is all about. That's something we can't fathom at all. So you always have to have a little tchelis. We shouldn't think that we understand everything. No one should be so arrogant as to think like Korach says, Kol Eidu Kulam Kedoshim. Rashi says, we were all at Har Sinai, we were on the Kabbalah Torah. Why is he the Balabas that he should pass on the Shaila? We can pass on the Shaila without Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't need a Rebbe. Not everybody needs a Rebbe. If you're a halfwit, if you're a moron, then you need a Rebbe who will teach you the Dinim. If you're intelligent, we were all there at Har Sinai. So we are the same Balabatim that Moshe Rabbeinu is to pass. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, no, you always need Tchelis. You can't have Lovim without Tchelis. Lovim without Tchelis means that you understand everything. Everything is Dvar Mechuvarim Kesimlo. And Tchelis represents that there are a lot of things that are Dvar Kisei HaKavod that you can't fathom. And everyone needs a Rebbe. Everyone needs Moshe Rabbeinu as the Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Rebbe, the Rebbeinu Shalom. He doesn't understand everything either. That's how Rav Soloveitchik used to interpret the Kavanah of the Medrash, that Korach had it in for the... He didn't want to have Tchelis in the corner. He thought that everything is Lovin. He can understand everything. So in connection with this, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that a few weeks ago, we read the Haftorah, I don't know if we read the Haftorah Bahar. Could be that it was a Rosh Chodesh or something. So the Haftorah, which we didn't read this year, was right before the Babylonian armies are about to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a nevuah to Yirmiyahu HaNavi that his cousin, Hanamel, Ben Dodo is going to come to you. He has no money, and he wants to sell his real estate, and the city on Anassos, which is worthless, because the enemy is about to conquer the whole Eretz Yisrael, so all the real estate is zero, is worth nothing. So the Rebbe Shlom tells him, when your cousin comes, pay him, and when he sells you the field, pay him the full amount. When he sells you the field, make sure you write two shtaris, a Sefer HaChosim and a Sefer HaGoloi. What is a Sefer HaGoloi, Sefer HaChosim? So the Gemara explains, there's a pair of get poshut in the end of Bava Basra. Get means a shtar. It doesn't only mean a get gerishin. A get means a shtar. So there's a get poshut, a ksuba that we have today, or a divorce, or a tenoyim. So everything is written on one side of the page, and you have the signatures on the bottom. So that's called the Sefer HaGoloi. Everything is on one side. It's very clear. And a Sefer HaChosim is what the Mishnah refers to as a get mekusher. Get mekusher, they're different pshatim and rishanim, exactly what it is. And they discovered in the caves, in Eretz Yisrael, the old caves, they discovered a few of these get mekusher. So the way it's done is, they would write a few lines, and then they would fold it over, and sew it down, and have a witness sign on the back, on the sewing. Then they would write another few lines, two or three lines, then they would fold it over, and then they'll have another eight sign on the back. Then they write another couple of lines and fold that over, and then I have a third eight. So the Mishnah says, a get poshut has to have a minimum of two eight, and if you want, you can have more. I remember I was once at a wedding, and the girl's father picked out two eight to sign the ksuba, and the boy's father thought that each one of the fathers was going to pick one eight. So he picked an eight. Then the three eight came to sign the ksuba. So what are you going to do? So I said, let them all sign. Why should we insult someone and tell them to sit down? We had three Adam sign. So the din is, the Mishnah says that a get poshut, a normal shtar, you have to have a minimum of two Adam. If you want, you can have more than two Adam. And a shtar mekusher has to have a minimum of three Adam. A lot of times you'll have eight, nine Adam. You keep on writing, you keep on sewing and stitching and sewing and stitching, but you have to have a minimum of three Adam. It means you have to have a minimum of three times that you fold it over. So he wrote two shtaris on the same, he wrote two documents, two shtaris. He bought it b'kesef, he was going to the karka b'kesef, then he wrote the two shtaris. So after he does the whole tzibui that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, commands him, so in the end of the Haftarah it says that Yirmiyahu HaNavi asks the Rabbanu Shalom, I don't understand. You know everything that's happened. You know everything. Why in the world did you tell me to buy a field that real estate is worthless? The enemy is soon available. He asked Rabbi Shalom, what do you tell me to do over here? So the Haftarah ends in the middle. Kodesh Baruch Hu answers, what do you think? I don't know what's happening. So the Haftarah ends there. But you read a few psukim after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, this is a siman lebanecha. I don't want all the people to give up hope that they should think as if they're lost forever. They're never going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. No. You bought the field and put away the shtar. Laman yamdu yamim ram, put it away in a safe vault. Because the Golas bubble is only going to be 70 years. So you're not going to live so long. You're going to die. But your grandchildren will come back. So this should be mechazik, all the people's emunah. They should know that they're going to come back in 70 years. So what was the idea of having two shtaris? What do you need two shtaris for? You can write either a Sefer HaGoli or a Sefer HaChosim. Either this kind of a get. Why in the world did the Institute do this crazy practice of writing and sewing and writing and sewing? What kind of meshugan is that? So the Gemara explains they instituted it for Kohanim, because Kohanim used to be hotheads. And when they would get angry at their wives, they would give them a get. And then the next day they would have charot. Once they gave the wife a get, so she's a grusha. So she's not allowed to marry back his own wife, who's a grusha. So if the kohen is a hothead, so they said, you want to divorce your wife, it'll take a few hours. So till they write, and they fold it, and they sew it, and they sign it. It takes forever. So in the meanwhile, they had a psychologist, they had a marriage counselor speak to the husband to calm down the Meshuggah. He comes into Bez and he wants to get, wants to divorce his wife. So they wasted time. So once they introduced it for Kohanim, for who want to divorce their wives, so they even did it for people who are buying karka. Why do you have to waste time when you're buying karka? I was like, they found the documents that they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, that they found in the caves. So they found on Shtori Mechira like that. The Mishnah talks about get Mekusher, get Pasha, Shtori Mechira, not only about Gittin. But the Gemara in Baba Basra says the reason why they initially started it is because the Kohanim were hotheads. Rav Soloveitchik used to say like that, that people think that they understand everything that's happening in front of them. Yirmiyahu HaNavi thinks that the real estate is worthless because the enemy is about to come and capture all of Eretz Yisrael. The Baruch Shalom tells him, in addition to the Sefer HaGoli, that you understand there's a Sefer HaChasam. You look at a Shtar Pashut, I get Pashut, everything is clear. You look at a Get Mekusher, you can't see what it says at all. Everything is sewn up. It's a hidden secret. So the idea behind it was that there's a hidden secret over here. You shouldn't think that the Eretz Yisrael is worthless because the enemy is taking away. Yeah, it's right now the enemy is taking another 70 years. The Jews are going to come back and they're going to return to Eretz Yisrael. So you shouldn't think that that you know everything. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that that's the idea of the merit of, that was the rebellion of Kerf. It was a common sense rebellion. He thought that you don't need a Rebbe. Kol Eidu Kulam Kedoshim, every man's religion. Everyone can look in the Bible and interpret it. I know how to, what do I need a rabbi to tell me what it says? I know Hebrew, I can read Gemara. A lot of Balabatim today say, I learned in Yeshiva, I know as well as the rabbi. Unfortunately, sometimes they know better than the rabbi. But usually they don't know how they know how to read Hebrew, but they don't know how to understand the Gemara to figure out what the Maskana, to figure out what the Pesach is. So that was Kairah. It's every man's religion. Everyone can interpret it the way they want. And everything is clear. There's no need for any Tchelis. You don't need a Rebbe. Everything is clear. Moshe Rabbeinu says everybody needs a Rebbe. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say. And even if your Rebbe is not alive, you have to try to figure out what your Rebbe, what would your Rebbe have said in this situation. They told me there was once an incident. Someone asked Rav Soloveitchik a Shaila. His mother, Rav Soloveitchik's mother, used to live across the street. So he always used to go visit his mother for years and years, every time he came in. So once someone asked him a shaila in the presence of his mother, so he said that it's mutter, something in Yerideya. Then his mother said in Yiddish, he spoke Yiddish all the time, your father would not have said mutter, your father would have said us. So he said, okay, awesome. He was a Talmud of his father. Yeah. What is the connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah of Korach? So the simple Parsha, the Haftorah of Korach is about the rebellion of the Jewish people against Shmuel Hanavi. That they were unhappy, they don't want Shmuel, they want a Melech. He said, what's wrong with me? You didn't like the way I was running the show? So he felt very hurt. So the superficial connection is that the Parsha starts off with the rebellion against Korach. And the Haftorah is all about the rebellion against Shmuel Hanavi. He took it as a rebellion, he took it as a personal insult. Shmuel Hanavi took, what's wrong with me? But there's a deeper connection as well between the two. There's a Mishnah in Brachas that says everybody has a right to daven. Okay, the Baruch Shalom has a right to say yes or no. You can say, I'll give you your request. I won't grant your request, okay? But everyone, Atu Shemat Tfilas Kol Peh, the Baruch Shalom listens to everybody's prayers. The Jews, the guy, fine. But the Mishnah says you're not permitted to ask for a miracle. If your wife is pregnant, so in the first 40 days, all the babies are females. It only becomes a male after the first 40 days. That's what the doctors say. So within the first 40 days, you can pray if you're dying to have a boy or a girl, whatever. So you're allowed to ask that it should be a boy or a girl. But after the first 40 days, it's already determined. So you're asking the Baruch Shalom to make a miracle. So you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So here in the parasha, you have an instance where Moshe Rabbeinu asks for a miracle. He says, "In Bria Yivra Hashem, Potsa Sohadom Aspio." So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, "In Bria, if the Piha Oretz is here, Misheshis Mei Bereshis, when the Baruch Shalom created the world, if it's here, so now it's time to open up. And if Lav, and if there was no such Bria, and Sheshis Mei Bereshis, Yivra Hashem, I ask HaKadosh Baruch that he should make a miracle, he should make a Piha Oretz now." The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says that Piha Oretz was one of the things that was created in Sheshis Mei Bereshis. It was there. It was, but it moved. It was at a different location, and it moved to this location. That's how the Mishnah assumes. So the Gemara interprets the request of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tefillah, in Bria, if there is a Piha Oretz, so let it open up now. And in Lav, Yivra Hashem, he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle now, to make a Piha Oretz. And after you have the same thing, Shmuel was upset why they're rebelling against his authority. So he says, I'm going to show you that you're sinning. So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halok tzir chitam hayom. It's the season where they're harvesting the grain. They harvest the grain, when do they harvest the grain? The end of the Sfira period. No? I think so. Sfira Saima period. Ekra Lashem, and it never rains then. After Pesach, he starts saying the same. He stopped saying the Saint Talamotar. In America, we don't understand why we don't say the Saint Talamotar all year long. That's what the Rosh asks. He says he lived in Germany, and they needed rain all the time. You don't understand why half of the year you don't say Saint Talamotar, but in Eretzol, you understand. Shmuel lived in Eretzol, so he says it's Ksir Chitim Hayom, and if it's going to rain, it's going to be a disaster. All the stuff will get ruined. So he asks, he calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ekra Lashem, I will ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tefila v'yitin kodos amoko du'uru ki raschem rabba. You'll realize that you sinned. So he starts to pour. And the people are petrified. All this stuff is going to ruin. Well, Yom Rekol Amar Shmuel, so they say, please beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should stop pouring. So he says, okay. He pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it stops raining. So he asks for a miracle. That season of the year, it never rained. He asks for a miracle that there were no rain clouds. How could it rain without rain clouds? So he asks for a miracle. So that's another connection between the Parsha and the Haftar. That's a question in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Hilchas Birchas Hamazon that on Chanukah one is supposed to mention in the Birchas Hamazon Alanisim. What a minig. The Gemara says, Mikra Adin, you're not mechuyev to say Alanisim. On Purim, you're mechuyev Medina to say Alanisim. The Mogen Avraham has a machlekes achrayim. Maybe if you bench and you forgot Alanisim in Sudas Purim, maybe you're mechuyev to bench over again. Maybe you're not Yotze the Suda, maybe you have to bench over again. That's 2 days of Magen Avraham. You make a lot of that. You don't bench over. Safik brachas lahakal. But on Chanukah, the Gemara asks the question in Perek Lama Madlikin. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's only a minig. You're allowed to say Allah Nisim. So in the Ramah it says, in that Simen, Hilchas Berchas Amos, what if a person forgot to say Allah Nisim on Chanukah? Then he reminds himself right afterwards. He's in the middle of saying Harachmans. So let him add another Harachman. Harachman, he asks Allah Nisim in the floors. Then you say b'mei matisyo. So the Mishnah, so the Shari Tshuva on the side of the Behetet quotes a kasha from the Panim Iris. How can you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachman Yasalon and Nisim in the floors? You're not allowed to ask for Nisim. And the regular Nisim, we don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do Nisim. We thank him. No idolacho. Al shen chalt Allah v'sein eretz chem d'toy v'chovo. We thank you for the nisim and the flaws. The Shmona Esra also, you say v'yala nisim and moedem anachna loch al nisecha shebuchal yabimano and v'lasecha v'tevesecha shebuchalais erba v'yka v'tzoharayim v'ala nisim ala purkan. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'sho'over. It's a hidoa l'sho'over, but it's not a bakasha l'habo that you should do nisim. So what's going on here? There are more changes that he says if you forgot ala nisim, forgot it in the correct place. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetev, I think it's Simen Kuf Peches, that's Simen Hilchas Birchas Amazim, where they talk about Allah Nisim. So the Shari Tshuva quotes this Kasha from the Panim Iris. He writes that was his grandfather, the Panim Iris. So he quotes the Klal from the Panim Iris is like this. If you ask him for Nisim for Klal Yisrael, that's permissible, because Klal Yisrael Allah Ma'alam and Atevah. So we're not kafuf to the Teva. Or if you're asking for an unusual tzaddik, so unusual tzaddikim also so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're lemaila min ha-teva. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is allowed to ask him Briya Yivra Hashem. If there is no Pihoritz, I ask you to create one. The Mishnah says there was a Pihoritz, but he's asking even if there wouldn't have been a Pihoritz, he says let HaKadosh Baruch Hu create one now. The Baruch Shalom Shavas Vayinafash, he created Yesh Me'ayin and Sheshes Me'breshes, and then from that time on it's not that he created that he rested one day and then he created 6 days and he rested one day. It's not that God every week creates 6 days and he rests one day, creates 6 days. But Yahu Shavas Vayinafash, he stopped creating, period. He didn't create any more Yesh Me'ayin for the rest of the history of this world. He didn't create any more Yesh Me'ayin. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Briya Yivra Hashem, I want you to make a creation Yesh Me'ayin now to make a Pihoritz. Mishnah says it wasn't necessary. There was a Pihoritz. But Moshe Rabbeinu had the right to ask, and after also, Shmuel HaNavi was unusual tzaddik. He has the right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should start raining. And a season where there are no rain clouds. It's not shaykh to rain at that time. So that's another connection. So the Shari Tshuva quotes this from the Parim Iris, the three klalim. He says, klal Yisrael is l'malam and ateva, so you're allowed to ask for nisim. and unusual tzaddikim. Also, he quote, instead of quoting the psukim from Korach and from the Haftarah, from Sefer Shmuel, he quotes from the Gemara in Tainus. There's one perek that's known as Pirkei d'Chassidi, the perek that tells all the stories about the tzaddikim, Tanoim and Amaroim. So the Gemara tells a story, different stories about the different tzaddikim. His wife died and he had a little baby and there's no one to nurse the baby. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a miracle should happen. And he developed breasts and he's nursing the baby. Then another miracle happened, he had no parnasa, a golden share came down from heaven. All these miracles. Then he found out he's going to lose schar in Olam Haba because he got the golden share. So yes, the golden share should go back to heaven. The Gemara says the second miracle was bigger than the first miracle. Because usually Min HaShemayim, they give, they don't take back. And the Gemara says, different tzaddikim, he asks for nisim. So the Parimira says, how are you allowed to ask for a nes? It's a contradiction to the Mishnah and Brochus. So he says, unusual tzaddikim ala maila benata. Then he says, the third kalal is, if he asks for a nes nistar, he asks for a nes, but there hateva. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give you the ability to succeed in the exam, that you should do well. That's not such a nes, if you study the material. And you'll master it, so you do well. Okay. That's a nice nista, that's not a nice nikla. So that kind of an nes, you're allowed to ask them. So these are really the two connections between the parsha and in this Haftarah. One is the rebellion against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, the rebellion against the authority of Shmuel HaNavi. And the second is that the both tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel HaNavi, are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle for them. Right. The Ramban HaChumash explains when a human being does something, so I plan an event, I'm going to marry this girl, we're going to have a happy marriage, and we're going to have so many children, and we're going to live near the river, and we're going to have such a mansion, we're going to have flowers and ducks walking. You imagine in advance what it's going to be. Then you get married, the wife is not exactly what you dreamt it was going to be, and the mansion is not exactly what it was, and the children is not exactly, nothing is the same as it was. So when a human being does something, he plans in advance what it's going to be, and sometimes it is what he thought, and sometimes it's not what he dreamt of. If the Ribbono Shel Olam wants something to be beautiful, whatever he says goes, it's going to be beautiful. If he wants it to be ugly, it's going to be ugly. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to create a world, Yehi Rakia, Yehi Mayim, Yehi Desha, Yehi Behemoth, and everything. So what is that? Vayar Lekim Ki Tov, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he made it. Then he says, hey, it turned out good. What do you mean it turned out good? If he wanted it to turn out good, it's going to be good. It's not that he had to sit and work and... He created the world, v'dvar lakim shamayim nasa, v'roch piv kol tzivam. He just made it tziva, basar mamaras niver ha'olam. So if the maimon was that everything should be tov, so it's going to be tov. So what does that mean, v'yar lakim ki tov? Every day v'yar lakim ki tov. So Ramban explains that the basic nature, this is the Bala Tanya, has all arichas on this, in the second chelik of the Tanya, that's called Shara Yichud V'Hamunim. I think he's supposed to read the second chelik before you read the first chelik. But that's the way it's printed, it's called the chelik sheni of the Tanya, Shara Yichud V'Hamunim. So he starts off with this. I don't think he quotes it. He quotes it from the Baal Shem Tov. We usually quote it from the Ramban al Atar. Same thing. That, of course, when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted the world to come into existence, that it should be Tov, of course it's going to be Tov. It's not Shaykh, it's not going to be Tov. If he wants it to be Ra, it'll be Ra. But if he wants it to be pretty and nice, it'll be pretty. But Vayar Lekim Ki Tov is a tzivui that it should continue to exist in the same way it came into existence. What does that mean? Because before the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, only Zayn Od Malvada, he was the only thing that existed. Nothing existed. There's no time, there's no space, nothing existed. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu created Hirakia, whatever, he everything, so it's Keneged HaTeva. The Teva should have been that nothing existed. So it's a Nes, Keneged HaTeva, that everything came into existence, Yesh Me'ayin. So it should have flopped back into non-existence after a second. The Ratzon Hashem was it should come into existence. Vayar Lekim Ki Tov does mean he's passing judgment. Ooh, it looks nice. I'm happy the way it turned out. Ve'alkim ki tov means that Hamacharish b'tuva b'chayim tov in ma'isa v'reishis. That's what the Bala Tanya explains based on this. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an ongoing tzivay Hashem ki tov. He wants everything to continue to exist. If he would have only made the initial asura ma'amaras, so everything would have come into existence for a moment and would have flopped back into non-existence. Because the basic nature of everything in the world is that it doesn't exist. He gives a mashal to this. He says, let's say there's a river that's flowing, and you put your hand in front of the river. So as long as you hold your hand there, you put a wall there. So as long as you make a wall, so the water's not going to go weiter when you take away your hand. So this is going to go, it's going to continue further. Because you're blocking the nature is that the water is flowing. You're blocking it, so as long as you block it, it won't flow. When you take away the thing, it'll continue to go the way it was going originally. So if the nature of the whole world is that basically nothing exists, Einoid Melvada, it doesn't only mean there's no other God outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means there's nothing else in existence aside from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean? But I exist, the table exists, the floor exists, the building exists, the clock exists, the fixtures on the ceiling exist, the basic nature of everything else, that it doesn't exist. That's what it means. Hashem Elokim Emes, the Novi and Yecheskel says Hashem Elokim Emes means that God is the only thing that has a true existence. We all have a contingent existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that, he has a continued Ratzon that we should continue to exist. If he'll stop having that, if he'll take away his hand for a second, so the water will continue to go. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away his continued Ratzon that everything should continue to exist that he created, everything will flop back into its initial state of non-existence. So that's what the Ramban interprets on that pasuk. Vayara l'kim ki toiv is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is passing judgment, ooh, I made such a beautiful world. No, that's the Ratzon, the continued Ratzon of Hashem, that everything should continue to exist the way he created it the first day. His wish that everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wish, basar mamas nivra'olam, that everything should come into existence. The Baal HaTanya gives the mashal. The Ramban does give the mashal. The Baal HaTanya gives the mashal. A carpenter makes a table. So he takes a hammer, the hammer exists, the nails exist, and the wood exists. He takes wood from the lumber yard, and he bangs in the nails, this should hold together, that should hold together. He makes the drawers, he puts everything together. So even after the carpenter dies, 100 years later, the table is still here. Why is the table still here? Because before the carpenter came on the scene, the boards of wood were there, and the hammer was there, and the nails were there. They had an independent existence. But if you're working with something where the basic nature of the whole world is that nothing exists, and you cause it to come into existence, for a split second, then by its very nature it should fall back into non-existence. The only thing that keeps it in existence is the continued Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Vayar Lekim Kitov. Every day it's Vayar Lekim Kitov, means there was a Ratzon Hashem that everything should continue to exist the way he created it initially. So the Baal HaTanya says that's what we mean when we say Mechadish Betulah B'chayim Torah Ma'aseh V'Reishis. This is the continued wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything should continue to exist. Baal HaTanya quotes from that's how the Ramban says. And the Baal HaTanya quotes from the Baal Shem Tov that there's a pasuk in Tehillim. L'yoylam Hashem dvorcha nitzav bashamay. God's word is always there in heaven. Forever. What does that pasuk mean? So the Baal HaTanya quotes from the Baal Shem Tov. The same as the Ramban. L'olam Hashem dvorcha nitzav bashamayim means that God's continued wish, his ongoing wish that he wants everything to remain in existence, is what causes everything to continue to exist. Otherwise, it would have fallen back into non-existence. Okay.
But it's not mechayev kol yom tov. It's not that he can create a whole new.
If he wants, he can. But it says chok nosim alo yava. Kodesh Baruch Hu created chukei ateva, and it leaves everything the way it is. Moshe Rabbeinu asks for a miracle. So according to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it wasn't necessary because there was Pi-Horetz. Pi-Horetz was created in Sheshis Mei Bereishis. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. So he said, if there is such a Bria, good. And if not, Yivra Hashem. I'm asking, please make a Pi-Horetz. The Mishnah claims that it wasn't necessary. That was one of the Nisim. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, lists off a lot of Nisim. So it says all of these Nisim were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, the last few minutes on the sixth day of creation. Where'd they get that from? Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So the Beis Halev Yachumish explains. Because all of the Nisim that occurred, Kriyas Yamsuf and Esamakas and everything, all the miracles, all the open miracles that occurred, they're all footnotes. A lot of times you have a contract, so you have to read all the clauses there in the tiny print. So a lot of times there's a clause there in the tiny print. If you put in a washing machine, the landlord has the right to kick you out, or whatever. There are a lot of things in the tiny bit. So when the Baruch Hu created the world, he created grass and trees and animals and human beings, all kinds of things, that he put in a lot of tiny things in the little print, the little clauses, that when the time will come, I want Kriyas Yam Suf to occur. When the time will come, I want Pi Horetz to open up. When the time will come, I want I'm in Hasinai. I want this miracle to occur. I want the other miracles. It comes out that all of these miracles that occurred throughout all the generations, all the ages, were not miracles that were happening at that time. This is the old miracle from Sheshes Mei Bereshis. This was the miracle of Bria Soilum. When the Baruch Shalom, that's how the Mishnah assumes. Vayoshev Hayom Le'ei Sono. The Pasuk says, after Kriyas Yamsev was all over, the Pasuk reads, Vayoshev Hayom Le'ei Sono. So the simple translation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the water and it didn't go further, would have drowned the Jewish people. And then the water went back, Le'ei Sono, to its strength, and it drowned all the Mitzrayim. That's a simple pshat. So the Medrash comments, Le'ei Sono, the word Eison is Oisias Tanai. Vayoshev Hayom Lit Tanai. That Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. When the Baruch Shalom made the Yam, so he put a clause in the tiny print there, in the Chukei HaTeva, that when time will come, I want it to be a Kriyas Yamsuf. When time will come, he wants a Dam, Tzvadeh, Akinim, he wants all these things to happen. All of the Nisim that occurred later, are really Nisim of the Briyas Olam and Sheshis Mei Bereishis. That's what the Rambam explains in the Shemoneh Prokim. Shemoneh Prokim is the introduction, the Rambam's introduction to his commentary on Pirkei Avos. He never gave it a name, so because it has eight chapters, it's known as the Shemoneh Prokim LaHaram. So one of the Shemoneh Prokim, he explains this at length. All the miracles that occurred are all clauses in the Bria. So that's what the Mishnah assumes, that Pi Haaretz was created, Sheshis Mei Bereishis, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemesh. But where'd they get that? Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemesh. So the Beis Halev Yachumish says, it says, Kivo Shavas Mikol Malachta Hashem Bora Likim La'asos. It's a difficult pasuk. Kivosh on Shabbos God rested. Kivosh Hashem Kol Malachto. It doesn't mean that he rested on Shabbos. Then the next 6 days he kept on creating, and then the next Shabbos he rested. No, that's what we do. We do it not to say that that's what the Baruch Shalom is doing now. That's what the Baruch Shalom did in Sheshis Mei Bereishis. He created for 6 days, then he stopped creating. Period. So we say Kivosh Hashem Mikol Malachto Asher Bara Elokim. La'asos. How do you translate? So the Ibn Ezra has difficulty with the grammar in the pasuk. So the Ibn Ezra has a klal. He says, look in many places in Chumash and in Tanakh, Ashabor Lakim Vioso. That's my name. When it says La'asos, a lot of times what it means a Vioso. How does it say? Kidiyom I say Chapalechem Litaher Eschem Mikol Chatesechem. So I think the Ibn Ezra says also on that pasuk, Ki Bayom Azan Yem Kippur, Ki Bayom I say Yechaper Alechem Vitaher Eschem. Not litaher eschem means vitaher eschem. The same, I think the Ibn Ezra connects these two psukim. That whenever you have these two verbs, one next to the other, and the second verb is in the infinitive, bar lakim la'asos means vi'asos. There, litaher means vi'itaher. So the Beis Halevi suggests that there are two types of tanai. When a man, let's say a man is mekadosh anisha, so he gives her a ring and he says, if it snows today, Hariat Mukadesh is lean now. So she waits, and it starts snowing later in the day. It turns out that she was married to him even before it started to snow. That's a Tanaya Mayachshav. Then there's a Tanaya of him. I say, Hariat Mukadesh is lean, if and when it snows tonight, I give her a ring. So if it snows, she becomes Mukadesh, not from the time that I gave her the ring. It's a delayed reaction. She becomes Mukadesh later. That's called the Tanaya of him. There's Tanai Me'achshav, it's going to be Chalam Afriya Tanai of him. So the Beis Halevi says, Ashebor Elekim La'asos means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something, Kivo Shabbos Mikol Malachto, on Shabbos God rested from everything that he was doing the last few minutes on Erev Shabbos. What was he busy doing on Erev Shabbos? Ashebor Elekim La'asos. He was creating things that are going to be Chal later. The whole Sheshis made Bereishis, he made animals and grass and mountains and all kinds of things and air and planets and stars and everything. And then the last few moments of Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes, he created Bor Elokim La'asos, he created things that are going to be Chal later. Atanai, all the Nisim are Atanai Yisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im Hayam Tanai Yisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. So that's Bor Elokim La'asos, it's going to be Chal at a later time.
Like
a Tanai Vim. Right, like a Tanai Vim, not a Tanai Me'achim. That's how the Beis Halevi suggests. Where did the Mishnah get the idea that all of these Nisim were created? Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. So he says, because of the Loshon HaPosuk, Shabbos Lekim La'asos. When Shabbos entered, Kadosh Baruch Hu had just completed creating the last few moments of Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. He completed creating all of the nisim that are going to take effect later.
The tzaddikim can ask for nisim. Can also be semi-fondness? Is that different?
I don't know. The Gemara has a machlokes abayvi rova, and we pass like rova. Ain't samechem al hanes. The pashta is, you have a right to ask. I don't know if you have a right to assume that. If the Rebbeinu Shlom promises you the nest, then it's a different story. But if he didn't promise the nest. Right, so they're assuming Klal Yisrael as a nation is Lamaila min Atero. Ain't Mazel Yisrael. So the Rashba. The Rashba in the Tshuvas has that kasha. You look in the Maritz Chais on the first daf in Soto, but the Gemara says that certain things depend on mazel. La b'schus atal yimilsa, the mazel atal yimilsa, so yes, the kasha b'klal Yisrael is ein mazel Yisrael. So he quotes the Rashba said, ein mazel Yisrael only goes on klal Yisrael as a nation. Does not go on individual people. Problem is, you read the Gemara in Shabbos, it has a whole blot Gemara. Ein mazel Yisrael, Gemara talks about individual people. They don't all seem to be such unusual tzaddikim. I don't know, that's a problem. The answer that the Rashba gave, that this whole part of Meiris is based on that. You have a right to ask for a miracle for Klal Yisrael. For Klal Yisrael is a ma'ala ma'atav tzaddikim. But individual people, not seems to be against that Gemara. Vei ma'azal Yisrael. Gemara talks about individual Jews. So that's the Rashba said like this part of Meiris. But still, it's all a problem with the Gemara.
The Gemara does talk about individuals that were totally in ma'azal. Like
if
it's born on Sunday, it's born on Tuesday.
Right. Nonetheless, the Gemara says in Shams, Ein mazel Yisrael, that every individual Jew is l'mal manateva. Not only the unusual tzaddik, every individual Jew is l'mal manateva. So how does this correspond to the other Gemara, that there's so many things that depend on, that do depend on mazel? I don't know. It's a problem.
Shem, based on the explanation of the Ramban, Hakumash, and the Baal Tanya, how would you define a miracle then? Based on the mashal they gave that everything is constantly a miracle by Hashem, what would be a miracle that we cannot pray for? Something that I guess is not.
They ask him to change things. I need a Gemara Yivamis now, but this is too heavy. So I ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, please change the Chumash into Gemara Yivamis. I'm not allowed to ask for that. If I've been an unusual tzaddik, I have the right to ask. And maybe the Baruch Shalom will answer in the affirmative, maybe not. But I'm not so unusual, the tzaddik, that the Baruch Shalom should have the right to ask for such a miracle. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change something in Teva. So that the Mishnah says in Brachos, you're not allowed to. That's what I mentioned once. I was once in front of a yeshiva, so they were saying Tehillim for a chayla. One of the people in the kollel had cancer, he was a chayla. So the Mashgiach, Rab Chatzka Levenstein, didn't want to say Tehillim, because they told him that he's holding by dying. They told me in his holding. So he said, what are you asking for, a miracle? You have no right to ask for a miracle. So I remember, Shmuel Razovsky was very tall, so he leaned over to the Mashgiach in front of the Beis Medrash, and he told him, no, he has the same degree cancer that so-and-so had, and so-and-so survived. They gave him treatments, and he survived. So, b'derech ha-teva, it's possible that he can survive. So the Mashgiach said, okay, then I'm going to say tilim. But if the doctors say that b'derech ha-teva, there's no way the person can survive. You're not allowed to ask that he should have a refuah. You can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have Rachmanis on him. Yeah, Rachmanis can mean he should die in peace. Rachmanis can mean you should die in another 2 weeks, or Rachmanis says he should die today. The Rebbeinu Shlom knows what the Rachmanis is. So a lot of times when they ask, we should be mispal for a chayla, his mom is holding by the end. You're not allowed to ask for a refuah. You can't. You're asking for a nefesh tishlach meir before shleim b'sof shacholi. So you're asking for a miracle. The doctors think b'derech ha-tevi doesn't stand the chance. You have to say a different tefillah. The tefillah should be Rebbeinu Shlom should have Rachmanis on the guy. Sometimes the Rachmanis is he should die in peace. Should have a calm death. Moshe Rabbeinu argues with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's what we mentioned yesterday. In our religion, we find when we study Tanakh, individuals and tzaddikim daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they carry on a whole debate with him. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not fair. Ho'esh echad yechto al kol ho'edot tiktzof. Is that fair? You get angry at everybody. So that argument, b'shaito, was a valid argument. Another couple of years later, Mishar Yisrael as Hayarden, and they accepted the brachas of Klal Yisrael Hagriz Maharevol. Then the Gemara says, after the brachas of Klal Yisrael Hagriz Maharevol, then Kol Yisrael Harev Mzebizeh. So it is true. Ishechad Yechto, I'll call away the Tikzev. We're all responsible for each other. But Bishaito, this the incident of Korach was Koidim Shavar as Hayarden, before the Bris of Hagriz Maharevol. So Moshe Rabbeinu's taina was correct. Isha echad yechto, v'kol haydo tiktzof, that the Rebbeinu Shalom has no right to punish everybody because of that. The Gemara that we mentioned yesterday, that Rabbi Bar Bachana was traveling in the Midbar, and the Arab was showing him all the different sites. So the Arab tells him, he shows him the Mese Midbar, and he didn't have the presence of mind to see how many tzitzis they had. So the Gemara says that he showed him the Bluik, they showed him Piho Oretz, and the Bluik Korach are still alive. This is centuries later. Rabbi Bar Bachana is in Amora. So the Gemara says he's traveling in the Midbar, and the Arab shows him Bluik Korach, Piho Oretz, and he puts his ear to the ground and he hears them screaming out, Moshe Emes, V'sarasa Emes, V'anachna Badoim. We're a bunch of liars. Moshe Emes, V'sarasa Emes, V'anachna Badoim. So the Marshua Nat Gemara started a whole tumult. How could that be that they're saying Vidoi, but the Gemara says in Erevin, Rishayim afila pischo shel Gehenna meinach ha'izim etshuv. The Rishayim never do tshuv even when they're about to fall into Gehenna. So the Marshua has his famous answer. That's how Pischo shall get them. They're about to fall in here. They fell in already into Gehenna. They've been burning so many centuries since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. By now they already did tshuva. Now they say Moshe Emes v'saras Emes v'anachnam v'adoyim. The simple answer is that if you look in the Gemara in Erevin where it says that, Rishayim afilu Pischo shkai me'achazim v'shuva, Gemara has a contradiction with another member. So the Gemara says it depends whether the Rishayim of Umis Ha'olam or Rishayim of Bnei Yisrael. Jewish Rishoyim, when they see they're getting punished, they are chosen mitzvah. And Rishoyim avu mesoilam, and there, afilu pischo shel gehenam, they won't be chosen mitzvah. See, we're talking about Rishoyim of Yisrael. According to the Gemara, there's no kasha. The whole kasha is based on a mistake. I remember when they were discussing the possibility of impeaching Mr. Nixon. We used to have a president of the United States by the name of Mr. Nixon. So he had all the Watergate tapes, a whole mishigas. So they were talking about impeaching him. So it was in the middle of the summer. So everybody wanted to watch the television that night. I was on vacation. I was learning Erevin that summer with a couple of boys. Everybody's going to watch television to see they're going to ask Nixon, is he guilty or innocent? So we said, we're not going to watch. We're going to sit and learn. So that night we learned that Gemara, the difference between Rishoy Yisrael and Rishoy Umas Olam. Even when you're holding by impeaching him, he's not going to admit that he's guilty. So at 11 o'clock or so, 11:30, when we finished learning, people came into where we were learning and they said, you missed the whole thing. Nixon was speaking on television. So we said, we know what he said. So what did he say? So we said, based on the Gemara, he said that he's innocent. He didn't do tshuva, he said he's innocent. So they said, yeah, how did you know? That's what he said, he's innocent. He said that he denied the whole thing. It was, everybody knew that he was guilty. And he, Rishayim afilu pischo shel gehenna meinach ha'izim etshuv. But on this Marsha's kasha, that's really based on a mistake. Al pi pasha, the whole thing is mamash a mistake, because the Gemara says, Rishay Yisrael are ha'izim etshuv. So on this Marsha, there's a famous, humorous answer from the Dubna Magid. So he says, there was a miserable fellow in the community who had a daughter, and no one wanted to marry the daughter. Or a son, whatever. He had a child, no one wanted to be mishadach with him because he was such a miserable guy. So he realized, hey, he's never going to get a shidduch for his child. So he sent messengers to a nearby village to try to get a shidduch. The people in town hated him so much, so they sent messengers to that town also. They should ruin his chance for any shidduch. They should tell all the people in town what a misery he is. So he had to send shluchim to a further location. So the people in town found out about it. So they sent messengers to that town. They hated him. They disliked him so much. So then he sent messengers to a different country. So the people in town heard about it, but they thought, what are they going to send messengers to say a lashon hara about the guy? They probably won't even know, they won't even listen to what we have to say. They don't know who we are. So they sent one fellow that he should ruin the chance for a shidduch. So the guy went to shul on Friday night, and after davening, everybody saw he's a stranger. And he knew which balabas they're trying to make a shidduch with. So after davening, everybody invited him to eat by them. So he took up the invitation of that balabas where he knew that they were trying to make a shidduch with his child. So in the middle of the meal, so the balabas asks him, where do you come from? He comes from that city. Oh, you come from that city? Do you know so-and-so? Sure, I know so-and-so. So what kind of a person is he? He's a big baltstokken, he's a tamad chacham, and he starts praising and praising and praising and praising and praising. Then he says, then the Balabas says at the end, and what do you do for a living? So he says, I'm a professional liar. Everything I say is a lie. So that's the way he ruined the shidduch. So this is the mashal that the Dubna Magi gave. He said, they didn't do tshuva, they said, Moshe Emes, V'saras Emes. And who are you? Anachna Badoim. Everything we say is a lie. They're saying Moshe is not Emes, and Terasa is not Emes. And Simchas Torah, we sing Moshe Emes, we don't say the last line. We say the first two lines. Okay, Moshe Emes, V'saras Emes. That's a famous interpretation of the Dubna Magid with his humorous mashal. But the truth of the matter is that the whole kasha of the mashal is a mistake. He was quoting the Gemara, in, I think it's the second parak in Erevin. The Gemara says, "Rishayim afidcha pischol shomkei lemein chayz metshuva," and the Gemara says that only applies to Rishi Yisrael. Does not apply to Rishi Yisrael. After the whole incident with Korach, so many people lost their lives. So the Bnei Yisrael were angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Hatem hamitem esam Hashem. So the Baruch Shalom wanted to show that Moshe and Aaron are innocent over here. So he instructed every shevet should give a matah. Every nasi of the shevet should give a matah, a staff, and they should pull all the matas in oil moed, v'inach them oil moed, and then one of them will sprout flowers. So they came, Moshe Rabbeinu came the next day, and every matah had the name of the Rosh HaShevet and the Nasi of the Shevet. And the matah of Aaron represented Shevet Levi. So the next day, they took out Vayim Machras, Vayom Moshe Lol Moedus, Vini Parach Mate Aaron, the base Levi, Vayotze Pech, Vayotze Tziz, Vayigal Moshkeidim. It started to grow almonds. It wasn't an almond, it was a wooden cane. And it was the only one. The other 11 matas, or the other 12 matas, whatever it was over here, the other matas were not growing any almonds. So the whole thing was a miracle. The Shobanei saw that Aaron is innocent, Aaron and Moshe are not responsible for any others, for causing any death. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, take the mate Aaron and put it in oil moed, and it should remain there. Vayas Moshe kashetziv Hashem also, kenos. He put mate Aaron in the oil moed, lefnei ha'edus, in front of the Aaron, l'mishmeris leos v'dei meri. So the pashtus is, it says kashetziv Hashem also. The term kashetziv means that it's a mitzvah l'deris. The Mishnah in the end of Yuma says that toward the end of the Vayisrishon period, Yoshua Melech, it says in Dibra Yom, Yoshua Melech was going as the Mate Aaron with the Tzenes Amon, with the Luchas, he put everything in the basement. And the Pasuk in Dibra Yom gives a reason, it's a little unclear what the reason was, but that's what it says. So from that time on, the Mate Aaron was not there. But the Pashto says that was really a mitzvah l'dor, so the Menchas Chinuch raises the issue. How come none of the money ha-mitzvah count this as one of the 613 mitzvahs? They should be counted as one of the Ramach Mitzvah's essay. To leave, to see to it, the Mate Aaron should always be in oil moed, and see the other person has Tzinsenes Haman, should be in oil moed. That the Jews should remember that the Rebbe Shalom gave one, and they were, for 40 years they were in the Midbar, they didn't have to work for a living, they just sat and they learned the whole time. They learned Kailu, they learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Kashatziv Hashem also, Kashatziv means that it's a mitzvah l'doris. So that's the Minchas Chinuch Kasha. How come none of the money on mitzvah count neither the mitzvah to put Mate Aaron in the Amoed, not to put the Tzinsenes Amon? I mean, he says, once you put it, so it's going to be there. So there's nothing to do for the next 1,000 years. Maybe that's why it's not counted as a mitzvah. We don't have to do anything more. Once Moshe Rabbeinu put it, so it's sitting there. But in case a ganav will come and steal it, and we'll retrieve it, so it is a mitzvah. We should put it back in the almoed. Should be a mitzvah. That's his kasha. That's the kasha. So at the end of Parshas Korach, you have Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, a comment that because Korach was ma'arer al hakohuna, he was claiming he wanted to become a kohen. It's not fair that Moshe and Aaron grab all the kibudim. So he wanted to be the Kohen, to do the Avodah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu reviews the matonis of the Kohanim, what they're entitled to, and he reviews the din that we had earlier in Chumash Bamidbar, that the Kohanim and the Levim should be Shomer Mishmeres HaMikdash, they should have palace guards around the base HaMikdash, palace guards leKovid B'Alma, palace guards to prevent people from doing the wrong thing, that Azar She'Avad is Misa B'Dei Shemayim, Azar L'Ikra V'Aleichem. There are serious Zara Korev Yumas. There are serious violations over here. So the Kohanim and Levim should serve as Shomim Mishmeres HaMikdash, as the palace guards, L'Kovid B'Alma, and to see to it that nobody sins. And then right after that, the Torah, that's a repeat of the mitzvah that we found earlier in Parshas Nosai. And then you have the Torah reviews all the matonis. The Chazal say in a few places in the Gemara that there are Chof Dalet Matan Skuna, there are 24 matonis. So the Rishonim all have a difficulty that they're more than Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna. So they say it must be that some of them have to be counted as one. So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla has the big Arichas. Rabbi Yeruchim Perla was a businessman, but he was very, very learned. So he wrote a long commentary, three fat volumes, three sizes of Baba Basra, on the Sefer HaMitzvahs for Rav Sadigan. Rav Sadigan wrote a poem where he lists off all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. So he figured out the code. Rabbi Yeruchim Perla figured out he lived before the Second World War. I think at the end of his life, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. In the early 1900s, moved to Eretz Yisrael, died in Eretz Yisrael. So he figured out what the system of Rav Sadigain is, what should be counted, what should not be counted, and he gives you all the klolim, and then he has a lot of commentary on the various mitzvahs. So on this, he has a famous arichas on the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna. He quotes the different shitas of the Rishonim. How do you count the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna? There was a gangster who died already, who was a learned fellow, who was he used to hold people up. He used to take along with a beard and a big, long kapata, and Eretz Yisrael, a character. He used to start up with women all the time, start up with men, start up with women. So he published a whole essay on the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna, mamish lifted lock, stock, and barrel for Rabbi Yeruchim Perla. I spoke to David Cohen from Flatbush, from Gvul Yavetz. So he says, I don't believe it. The guy borrowed the Sefer from his library. He never gave it back. And he published this essay on the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna. He didn't realize. David Cohen didn't realize. He took the whole thing from that Sefer. Other people also gambit from, also Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna, other people also gambit from Rabbi Yeruchim Perla. In the few years after the Sefer came out, it wasn't so available in America, so another Talmud Chacham gambit and published the whole essay on the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna. Okay. So what's the difference whether you count them as one, as two? It doesn't make such a difference. But the Rishonim have a big machlekes when they're trying to figure out which are the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna. So they have a whole machlekes about Maisa Behema. Is Maisa Behema supposed to be one of the Matnas Kuna or not? So Rashi writes on Chumash and Rashi writes on the Mishnais and the Gemara. Maisa Behema, the farmer has sheep, and then he has 35 sheep were born in the course of the year. So he puts them in a corral, and he has an opening, and he counts 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10, and he slaps it on the back, and Asiri Yerkodesh Lashem, Maisa Behema. What do you do with the Maisa Behema? So it says, Yemakrevin in the Beis HaMikdash. Who gets it? So Rashi says, it never says you give it to the Kohen. So the farmer keeps it. It's a Kachim Kalim. Farmer keeps it. He has to eat it in Yerushalayim Mikdusha V'Tahara. Sure. And some of the Goyim said no in the calculations of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna. That's the basic difference. What you count, what you don't count. So some of the Goyim were of the opinion that the Maisa Behema is one of the Matnas Kuna. Rashi says it doesn't say anywhere. And Mishnah Yisrael Gemara doesn't say anywhere. The Netziv, in his commentary, the end of Chumash Bamid, the end of Chumash Vayikra. How does Vayikra end? With Maisa Behema, no? One of the last psukim in Vayikra. The last two psukim in Bechukosai, before the concluding Eila Mitzvahs, the last two psukim are about Maisa Behema there. So the Netziv has in his commentary there, in the footnotes in the back, he says, wait a minute, there is a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim that says, when they came back in the beginning of Baisheni and they started bringing korbanos again, so they used to give the Maisa Behema to the Kohanim. So it does say. It does say they gave it to the Kohanim. So the Tziv says, what does Rashi do with the pasuk in Divrei HaYomim? Rashi says, it doesn't say anywhere. What do you mean it doesn't say anywhere? It says in Divrei HaYomim. So he says, you know, the Netziv writes, you know, they say in the name of the Vilna Goyen that even though the mitzvah to eat matzah is only the first night of Pesach, but if a person eats matzah later in the middle of Pesach, there's a mitzvah kiyumis. You're not mechuyev to this. The Vilna Goyen came up with a new chiddush. Some claim it's not a check of a chazov. It couldn't be. It doesn't make sense. The Vilna Gaon couldn't have said such a thing. It's so ridiculous. And everybody, the whole world says the Vilna Gaon said like that. Others argue the word mitzvah means there's a mitzvah, God, a commandment. Commandment means you have to do it. Now it's optional. If you want to do it, I'll be happy. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. That's not a mitzvah. Mitzvah means you mechuyev. How can you say there's such a thing as a mitzvah so shus? Isn't it a contradiction in terms? So that's what the Ritzib says. Look, I didn't invent the idea. It's Yadua B'Shem Hagro. They say in the name of the Vilna Gaon, there is such a thing as a mitzvah so shus. So he says, maybe that's what Rashi meant. You're not obligated to give Maisa Behemet to the Kohanim. If I'm in real estate and I made a lot of money today, I made $5 million on some kind of a deal, so there's no law I have to give one-tenth to the Kohanim. And even if I give it, there's no kiyum mitzvah. But Maisa Behemet, there's a mitzvah kiyumis. There's a mitzvah kiyumis if you give it to the Kohanim. That's what the Nitziv suggests. Then he starts suggesting additional mitzvahs that are mitzvah kiyumis. He says, maybe hafrashas trumas and maisus adogin tirish v'yitzar is the raisa. And if you're mafrish, no, that's not the Nitziv, that's the Ravid in the Kos of Sham. The Ravid has hasogas on the Balamor, that's called Kos of Sham. It says in his Sefer, the Ravid in the Balamor learned Bechavrus. So each one wrote hasogas on the other one's Sefer. So the Ravid wrote his Sefer, Bali on Nefesh, and Hilchas Nida, Taras on Mishpach, and Hilchas Mikvois. And you have hasogas of the Balamor, and then you have the Balamor has, and all of the Rift, Balamor has hasogas on the Rift. So the Ravid wrote hasogas on the Sefer of the Sefer Amor, of the Balamor. So the hasogas are called Kos of Sham, because every paragraph begins Kos of Sham. The Balamor wrote like this. So if it's something good, the Balamor says, so he said, he stole it from me. The rabbi writes, gone for me eating, stole it from me. And if he doesn't like it, he says he's wrong. So whatever he says is no good. Either he stole it from me because he learned Bechavrus. He said, that was my idea. Or he says, it's wrong. That was his idea and it's wrong. He disagrees with everything. So there's such a Kos of Sham at the end of Chulin. The very end of Chulin, the Kos of Sham writes that the obligation to be mafrish chumas and maisas deraisa is only on dogon tirish v'yitzar, but if you're mafrish on potatoes, tomatoes, oranges, apples, it'll be chal min haTorah. That's the right it writes like that. The Ritziv doesn't have so much. Ritziv has about lakuach. The Gemara says, aseh tasas kol tuazecha yotzei hasode shana shana. So the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, on Daf Peches, I think. So the Gemara says, If it grew on my field, then I'm mechayiv to be mafrish chumas amaisus. But if I buy it in the store, it grew in someone else's field, you're not mechayiv to be mafrish chumas amaisus. You're not mechayiv to be mafrish. So the Gemara says, midirabbanan. Lukuch is only midirabbanan. So the Ritziv has a suggestion, the chayiv to be mafrish is midirabbanan. But if you're mafrish, there's a mitzvah kiyum is min haTorah. Once the Vilna Gaon said it by matzah, so he opened up the possibility of such a concept existing, a mitzvah so shus. So the Nitziv thinks that's the answer to Maisa Behemah. Even though Rashi says you're not mechayiv to give it to the Kohanim, but if you do give it, then there'll be a mitzvah kiyumis, and that's perhaps the answer to the that's perhaps the pshat by Lokuach, and that's perhaps the pshat by all the other parents other than Dogen Tirish. So it opened up a possibility. Again, others claim the whole thing is it can't exist. It can't be such a thing as a mitzvah so shus. So this claim the Vilna Gaon couldn't have said it because logically it's impossible. Anyway, so that's the only difference in how do you reckon the 24 Matan Sekunim, what's included, what's not. So Aloch Lamaisa, I think the only difference is this, whether Maisa Behema Yemuchiv to, is it the one of the Matan Sekunim or not? There's a Rashbo in Shabbos. The Gemara says about how wealthy Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was. That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Koyan. It was Dor HaSiri LeEzra. When they fired Rabbi Gamliel from being the chief rabbi, so they didn't want to appoint Rabbi Yeshua, because he was the Bar Plukta, so they didn't want to hurt Rabbi Gamliel. They hurt his feelings enough that they fired him. But to appoint Rabbi Yeshua, that would hurt his feelings too much, and they felt they can't do that. They couldn't appoint Rabbi Akiva. He was from Mishpachas Gerim. So they were afraid that because if they appoint him as the chief rabbi, they're afraid that he didn't have enough schusim, Rabbi Akiva. So maybe Rabbi Gamliel, maybe Mispalel, that they should punish Rabbi Akiva, maybe his peers would be. So I had to appoint someone who had a big yichas. So they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He was Dor HaSiri LeEzra. He was a Kohen 10th generation. So the Gemara says that this Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he was so wealthy. He was mafrish, so many behemoths for Maisa behemoth. So Tosfos is bothered with their kasha. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lived after the Churban Habayis. He was a baby Bizman Habayis. He was 5 years old. What do you mean he was mafresh Maisa Behema? You're not mafresh Maisa Behema after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. You're not supposed to be mafresh Maisa Behema. What are you going to do with it? You can't be makrevit on the Mizbech. Someone is going to be Moel Behegdash. So So Tais says, maybe Maisa Behema means that he gave tax to the government. Maybe it doesn't mean Maisa Behema that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it means he gives tax to the government. Or maybe it means his, when he was 5 years old, maybe he was a little child, he was a Yosem, maybe he was 5 years old, his apotropis maybe was Mafish Maisa Behema and brought it to the Beis HaMikdash as a court. Maybe that's what it means. Tais is not sure what it means. But maybe he means that they pay tax to the government. So many, 1,000 Behemas, Maisa Behema. To show how wealthy he was. So the Rashba and Shabbos, on the commenting on that Gemara, quote some of the Goyim who say, it can't be Maisa Behema. Abdozman as I was a Kohen. Kohanim don't have to be Mafish Maisa Behema. So all the Achrayim ask, who ever heard? The Rashba asks. I never heard of that. I think the Rashba asks. I never heard of that, that Kohanim don't have to be Mafish Maisa Behema. So that's what they say in the yeshivas, the Goyim, the Rabbi Nachanan, or whatever, the Goyim that he's quoting, they were of the opinion that Maisa Behema is a Matnas Kahuna. It's one of the Choftal of Matnas Kahuna. So Kohanim don't have to be Mafrish. A Kohen doesn't have to give opinion on Ben. What he's going to give to himself. So they apparently thought that the Maisa Behema is one of the Choftal of Matnas Kahuna. So that's why they thought that Kohanim don't have to be Mafrish. And the Rashba disagrees. So at the end of the parsha, the Torah reviews all the Matnas Kahuna to be Mechazik, the institution of the Kahuna. Necholim ucholodim, yeah. Maybe it means the Kohen can write Truma, you may not give to a Zar to eat. And Chatas and Oshem, you may not give to a Zar to eat. Only Kohanim can eat it. But let's say Chazav Ishoik Shel Shlomim is Matnas Kahuna, but it's Mutta for a Zar to eat, I think. Chazav Ishoik, wait a minute, is it Mutta? No. No, it's not true. Chazav Shoik may not be eaten by a Zar. You're right, may not be eaten. I don't know. Apparently they think it's a befeirish mishnah. Nechal ucholodim means that they can invite non-Kohanim to eat with them. It's eaten in Yerushalayim. It's not eaten in... Only Kachi Kachma are eaten in the Azar. Yeah. That's a problem. The Pasuk says the Kotche Kotchim have to be eaten by Zichri Kohuna in the Azora. And we have a klal, Ein Yeshiva Bar Azora, Ela LeMalchei Beis David Belvat. The only one who's allowed to sit in the Azora is a king from the Malchei Beis David, even if he's a Melech, but he's not from the Malchei Beis David, he's not allowed to sit in the Azor. Then there's another Pasuk here at the end of the parasha that all of the Matnas Kuna are given to the Kohanim to be eaten, LeMoshcho. LeMoshcho. What do you mean LeMoshcho? So Rashi says, LeGdula. And the Gemara says in Chul, Kedech Sham Lachem Oichlem. They shouldn't make a cheap Michael out of it. They should eat it in a very Bekavadiga fashion. All the Matan's going to have to be eaten in a Bekavadiga fashion. So Bekavadiga fashion means you sit down at a table and you eat with a fork and a knife and a plate and so on. In the Azor, you can't sit down. So all the Kohanim are eating the Chatas and the Oshem and the Shiori HaMincha, they're eating in a standing position. That's called Kederach Sham Lachem Oichlem. That's in a fast food shop. So people stand there and they buy hot dog sandwiches. They walk in the street, they eat pizza. That's not Kederach Sham Lachem Oichlem. The kings don't eat pizza in the street, or they don't eat hot dog sandwiches in the street. They sit down at a table. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos would bother. The Mishlei Melech quotes the Balei HaTosfos would bother with that problem. So some Balei HaTosfos write that for the purpose of the Kohanim to eat the Kachikachim, the Chatas and the Asham and the Shiori HaMincha and the Azara, then they were permitted to sit. When it says Ein Yeshiva Barzara LaMalchim Bezdav, it means aside from Kohanim eating Kachikachim, but the Kohanim only ate Kachikachim had to sit. Mishlei Melech quotes that. Rabbi Yosef Engel in the first essay in the Sefer Asvan Deraisa, he's a genius. So he has a suggestion. There are rooms in the Azara. There's an area that was Mekudes B'Kedush Azara, rectangular shape of area. Then there were rooms on the border of the Azara. Half of the room is in the Azara, half of the room is out of the Azara. So what was the status of those rooms that were half in and half out? So the Gemara says, if it only has a Pesach to the inside, then the whole room has the status like Azara. If it only has a Pesach to the outside, it doesn't have a Pesach to the inside. Outside is Har Bais, and inside is Azara. So here, let's say the Gemara is the Azara, and then there's a room over here. And all around it is Harabayis. So there's a room here on the border. So if it only has a Pesach to the inside, there's no way to walk from here outside. So the whole room has a status like Azara. If it only has a Pesach on the outside, it doesn't have a Pesach to the inside, so the whole room is like Mechutz Lazara. If it has an opening here and here, the Lishkas HaGozis was Chetzi HaKodesh and Chetzi HaKol, half in the Azara, half out, and it had a room, has a door on both sides. So because it had a door, a Pesach on both sides, to the Harabais and to the Azara, so Chetzi HaKodesh and Chetzi HaKol, where the line of the triangle, where the line of the rectangular shape was. So the Bezna Gadol used to sit in that half of the Lishkas HaGozis that was Mechutz Lazar, because the inside side had a din of Toch Hazar. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes that Tosfos as a Chiddush, Tosfos as a Kasha, they come up with a Chiddush. If you have such a room, the Chetzia Bakodesh VeChetzia Bachol, and only has a Pesach to the inside, then the whole room has a din. Kilifnim, you're allowed to eat Kachi Kachim there, and you're allowed to sit in that part, you're allowed to sit. The part that's Bachol, Ein Yeshiva Bazar is only in the Azara proper, but even though the whole room has the din like the Azara for the purposes of eating Kachi Kachim, but the din of Ein Yeshiva Bazar doesn't apply to the outside part. So he says he solved the problem. Maybe that's, there were all a lot of rooms like that. Maybe when the Kohanim had to eat Kachi Kachim, maybe they always ate, and the outside part of such a room, there was Chetzi Bakodesh, Chetzi Bachol, it only had a Pesach Pasuach Lefnim, didn't have a Pesach Lachutz. But the problem, the issue was raised by the Baal HaTos. They didn't come up with that suggestion. That was Rabbi Yosef Engel's suggestion. See, here you have the end of the parsha. You have all the dinim. Have all the dinim of Truma. The first pasuk starts off, Hinei nesati lachos mishmeres trumaisai. I give you the Truma. Why is it called mishmeres? What does it mean, mishmeres? So the Gemara understands you have to guard the Truma. You have to watch that, number one, the Truma should not become tamei. For sure, you're not allowed to be mitami biyadayim, but even more than that, you have to close it up and put it away in a safe place that no one should be mitami. And number two, it shouldn't get ruined, it shouldn't get lost. Let's say you have a bottle of shem and shel truma, and you think the bottle has a hole on the bottom, so it's going to leak out. So pour it into a different bottle. Don't put it in such a bottle. That's called the din of mishmeres trumaisa. Why does it say, hanin nasati lecho? So the Gemara says that it's mamon bailam. Truma is mamon bailam. Koyen can be mekadosh and isha with the truma because it belongs to him. Can you be mekadosh and isha with ma'isa sheni? That's a machlokes satanoim. Let's say the farmer is mafrish. It's the first or the second year you mafrish ma'isa sheni. Third year you mafrish ma'isa rani instead of ma'isa sheni. So ma'isa sheni is a machlokes satanoim. The farmer brings it to Yerushalayim. He wants to eat it b'kedusha v'tara. Then he sees a nice girl. He wants to marry her and he gives it. He says, "This is ma'isa sheni. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim b'kedusha v'tara." So it's not worth. Other food that you can eat all over Shaloi B'Tahara is worth more. Ma'aseh Sheni, because it's restricted. The Makom Achila is restricted. You can only eat it in Yerushalayim Kedusha V'Tahara, so it's worth less. So he tells the girl in advance, "This is Ma'aseh Sheni, and you can only eat it in Yerushalayim Kedusha V'Tahara." So that's a Machlek Zameh Rabbeuta. When Ma'aseh Sheni Mamon Bailam, Ma'aseh Sheni Mamon Gavoya. So usually Rameh Rabbeuta Alochik Rabbeuta. Usually whenever there's Machlek Zameh and somebody Rameh usually loses. The Gemara says in the first parak in Erev, he was so sharp. Rameh was so sharp when he gave a shir, he gave such a pilpul, he would explain all the logical possibilities. He can say like this, and he can say like that, and he can say the other way. And when the Talmidim walked out from the shir, they didn't know exactly which of the logical possibilities was the one that he thought was correct, because he explained everything so well. So they dropped out of his shir, and they went to a different shir. They like the shir where the Rebbe gives them clearly, the din is like this, and the reason is like that. The Rameh gave so much pilpul explaining all the logical possibilities. They walked away, they didn't know what the din was. So the next generation, when they were voting what the din should be, so Rameh hardly had any students. So he was usually outvoted. So Rameh Rabbeuta, Alochik Rabbeuta, Rameh Rabbi Shimon, Alochik Rabbi Shimon, he usually loses. Once in a while, the Gemara says, no, here we pass on like Rameh. So here the Gemara, in the end of the second parak in Kedushin, says, we pass on like Rameh, the Ma'aseh Sheni, is Mamon Gavoya. Yeah. Why is Ma'aseh Sheni Mamon Gavoya? Why is Truma Mamon Bailim? It says, Inei Nesati Lecha, the Gemara says, Nesati Lecha, so the Truma is Mamon Bailim. And why is Ma'aseh Sheni Mamon Gavoya? Because the Pasuk at the end of B'chu Kaisai says that it's Kodesh. So Kodesh, and you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash is. You have to bring the Ma'aseh Sheni to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash is. So Kodesh L'Hashem means you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. because you have to bring it. That's why the halacha says that it's mamon gavaya. What about karbanos? If ma'aseh sheni is mamon gavaya, so psalachar karbanos should be. Ma'aseh sheni you only have to bring to Yerushalayim. You don't have to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. The karbanos you have to bring to the Beis Hamikdash. That's a new machlokes satanai. They somehow never linked the two. In my mind, I would have said once the Gemara establishes ma'aseh sheni is mamon gavaya because you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So whatever you have to bring to the Beis Hamikdash for sure should be mamon gavaya. So the Gemara doesn't say like that. The Gemara said that's a new story. And you have to look again in the psukim. So the psukim at the end of the parsha say, What does it say? Zei Yelecho, Kadosh Baruch is telling Aaron HaKohen, Zei Yelecho Mikodosh HaKadosh Min Ha'esh, Achatas and Enosham, Kachikachim, and Shiori Menachas, all the Kachikachim is given to Aaron Abanam. Zei Yelecho, Kodosh HaKadosh Min Ha'esh. So the Gemara there in Kedushin says, Min Ha'esh, just like the fire on the Mizbeach, is Kodesh, it's not Shalachem, it's holy. So all the Karbanas, Kachikachim, that go on and eat, are Kodesh. So the Pasuk only says Kachikadoshim. Other Tanaim disagree, they say no, Kachikachim is also Mamon Bailam. Machlokes HaTanaim in the Mishnah. And it's not Nishkin Kasha, I don't know why. No one makes a Kavu Chaimer. If my Sushani is Mamon Gavaya, so certainly all the Karbanos should be Mamon Gavaya. Nobody makes that Kavu Chaimer. None of the Tanoim. Nobody holds like me. I don't know why. Okay? So we assume Zei Yelchem HaKadosh HaKadosh HaMenoresh, all the Kachim Kachim are Mamon Gavaya. What about Kachim Kalim? So that's Vaitam Achloikis HaTanoim. Rabbi Yisak Lili holds that my Kachim Kalim Mamon Bailim. The Gemara discusses it. Do we paskin? There are contradictions in the Rambam. Whether the Rambam does paskin, does not paskin. The Ketzei Sacheshin quotes all the contradictions in the Rambam. Every year, someone publishes another Dvar Torah to try to explain what is the Rambam Shita by the Kachim Kalim, whether they are Mamon Bailam or they're not Mamon Bailam. It's one of the age-old problems with that Rambam. But everything is based on Psukim, and nobody makes a Kavachimer from Kachi. From Kachi Kachi, you can't prove the Kachim Kalim. Maybe the pasuk only says Zei Yelchem Kodesh Kadosh Minu Eish. It's like the Eish. That's only our Kachim Kachim. So you can't prove Kachim Kalim from that. So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. Once you have a pasuk by Kachim Kachim, does it extend to Kachim Kalim or not? But no one makes the Kal V'chaimer from Ma'aseh Sheni. I don't know why. Then the pasuk continues about Hafrashas Truma Kol Chel of Yitzor V'Kol Chel of Tirosh V'Dogan. Tirosh is grape juice, and Yitzhar is olive oil, and Dogon is grain. So that's why we assume La Halacha, like the Shitas Bali Ates, is the only Chiyav Deraisa, and Shumas Amaisis is Dogon, Tirosh, V'Yitzhar. And everything else is only Midirabbanan. The Rambam doesn't hold like that, but we don't follow that Rambam. We follow the Rambam, so we follow the other Rambam. We follow both Lahokil. The Bali Ates are very makel. They say only Dogon, Tirosh, V'Yitzhar, Deraisa, everything else Midirabbanan. The Rambam says all Peris are eights. Or their rice. So we don't accept that Rambam. Then the Rambam came up with a Chiddush Lahakel. We mentioned yesterday, I think, that Achumas Ramaises Bizman Azah Afilu B'Meyezra was only the Rabbanim because there was a lack of Bias Kulchem, a lack of Koyesh Ve'Holeh, however you're supposed to present it. So the Rambam says we follow that Rambam also. That's a big kula. The Pashtus is that Kedusha Shnia Loi Batlo, Kedusha Shnia was their rice, Kedusha Shnia Kitchel Asilah, so the Chiv Chumas Ramaises should be their rice. So the Rambam says wrong. Hachumas Ramaises Bizman Azeh, Afilu B'Mei Ezra was only the Rabbanim because he didn't have Bias Kulchem, but he didn't have Kol Yoshveh HaLeh. So we followed both Lahaka. We followed the Rambam Lahaka, and we followed the Tosis Lahaka on this. Yeah, the Pasuk writes each one separately. Kol Chelev, why does it say Kol Chelev Yitzar? Kol Chelev Tirosh? Why does it say Kol Chelev? The Chelev means the Mufchor. That's another din. The Gemara says you have to be Mafrish Chumah Min HaMufchor. And if you mafish mina garua, let's say you'll be mafish mina tomei ala tohor. You mafish mina garua, you have a lot of apples, and all the rotten apples they put in one barrel, and all the good apples they put in the other barrel. So the guy's mafish all the rotten apples that you're going to have to throw away half the apple. He's mafish all the rotten apples for the kohanim, that's for the truma. So the pasuk says you're not allowed to do that. It's a mitzvah called chelev dogon v'sirosh v'chor chelev yitzar. It's a mitzvah always to be mafish min hamufchor. But the Gemara learns that from the last passage in the parasha, If you'll be mafish min amuvchor, you'll have a mitzvah. And if you won't be mafish min amuvchor, you'll have an averit. But it'll be chal. Gemara says it'll be chal. That we say, Iyovid mahani. There's a machlekes abai verove, the beginning of Maseches Temura. Kol milsa dam rachmano lasavit. Whenever there's a prohibition, the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, and the person goes ahead and he does it. And he had no right to do that. So maybe I should say, since he had no right to do that, so the das that he expresses is meaningless. So maybe I should say it's not chal. Let's say, if you're mafresh tumas amaisa, you have to have das. If you don't have das, you don't know what you're doing. Let's say, acherish at v'katan, or mafresh al shein ishaloi. Someone else, my next door neighbor, is going to come, is going to be mafresh tumas amaisa. I didn't appoint him as a shliach. So the opening Mishnah in Truma says that it's not chal. Cherish ha'tvikot and don't have das. And mafresh al-dov sheinu shaloi, he has no right to express das. It doesn't belong to him. And whenever you have no right to express das, it's just not chal. So you had no right to be mafresh min ha'tomei al-ator. You had no right to be mafresh min ha'garua. The mitzvah is that you're supposed to be mafresh min ha'chela. So that's a machleika, it's habayi v'rava. What's the din? Milsadam rachman ala sabit. Whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, means you have no right to do that. Go ahead and you do it. Should we say it's not chal? Because you had no right to do it. And you need das in order that should be chal. So the das is cancelled over here. Or should I say no? If you had no right, that you're going to say it's not chal, then why should it be an aver? You tried to do something wrong, but you didn't accomplish anything. So you're not held guilty for attempting to do something wrong, if it wasn't chal. So that's machlekes abai v'rov in general. What's a din? Milsa dam rachmano le'sabin. Whenever there's a situation where the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, you went ahead and you did it. Should I say, Iyovid lo mehani? It can't be chal, because you had no right to express das like that, like a mafresh truma, al dobashen ishaloi. Or should you say, no, it is. It has to be that it is chal. Iyovid mehani, it has to be it is chal. Otherwise, what avera did you do? But this the Gemara says they all agree. If a mafresh min ha'garua, a mafresh min ha'tomei latar, that they all agree that it is chal. That they all agree. The machlekes is, what about all the other cases? Because that's the closing pasuk in today's sermon. You won't have an avera if you'll be mafresh min ha'mufchor. If you're mafresh min ha'garua, then you'll have an avera, and the avera will be because of his chal. If it's not chal, there's mafresh na'avera. So the Gemara says, that case everybody agrees. So the pasuk speaks a lot about the afroshas, trumas, and maisas here. So it says kol chelav yitzar v'chol chelav tirash. Chelav means the mufchor, and it says you have to be mafresh separately truma from yitzar, from an olive oil, and truma separately from the tirash, from the wine. Why do you have to be mafresh? Let's say I know I have $20,000 worth of wine, $20,000 worth of olive oil. So altogether it's $40,000. I want to be mafresh truma 2%. So you figure out 2% of $40,000, whatever it is, and you mafresh so much oil, and sure, you give all the oil to the kohen. No, the din is you have to be mafresh from oil on oil, and from grain on grain, and from wine on wine, because the pasuk says chelav yitzer and chelav tirosh. If you mafresh mimin al shein aminoi, it's not chal. It's not chal. Why shouldn't you say iovid mahani? Why shouldn't you say you did wrong? So Gemara says, no, that's a beferish pasuk, that you don't say Iyod Imani. But the pasuk implies you have to have min amufchor, and it has to be mimin al minoi. If you're mafresh mimin al shein minoi, it's not going to be chal. Then the psukim speak about hafroshes truma baharim chemes chelbo mimenu. The truma is called chelbo, the mufchor. Amirim chemes chelbo mimenu. So the Gemara, the tanoim in the sifrei, understand from the word mimenu that it's min amukov, it should be nearby. Let's say I have a storage house in New Jersey, and I have a storage house in Pennsylvania. Oh, this is Chutz Lortz. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, I have a storage house in two different farms in Eretz Yisrael. I know how many barrels I have there. Same thing, wine and wine. I know how many barrels I have there. I have 1,000 barrels. I want to give 2% truma, 2% of the 1,000 barrels. So you can't give 2% of everything from what we have to give mafresh min amukov. All the stuff in this room is called min amukov, so I have to be mafresh a barrel on the barrels in the room, and then the other room that's in a different place, I have to be mafresh min amukov over there. So the sifrei learns that out from the word barim chemes chelbo mimenu, to be mafresh min amukov. Mimenu means min amukov, it should be together. That's a big machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Gittin daf lamed amud beis. Whether this halacha is a real dinder, I said it's only asmachta mid rabbanon. The sifrei learns it out from the pasuk mimenu, but Tosfos comments in a few places in Shas that there are many drushes in the sifrei that are only asmachtas. So you always have to investigate any given din that appears in the Sifro or the Sifrei, even though it's based on a drasha from a pasuk, is a real drasha gemara. The raisa or is it an asmachta? So in this din a mukaf that appears there in Gittin, the flamen and beis, so Rashi claims that it's only made the rabbanim. The din a mukaf is only rabbanim. The whole pasuk mimenu is only an asmachta. And what motivated the chachamim to institute this din the rabbanon was that we don't have a cell phone. You don't have a telephone. I'm going to be talking on the phone. I'll ask the guy in the other bow on how many barrels do you have there? Everything is good. Nothing got spoiled. It tells me 100 barrels, and I can't have 100 barrels here. So I know Bavadai. So in the days of the Tanakh, the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any telephones. So he doesn't know what's doing in the other place. So maybe he's mafrish truma on all of this stuff. And it turns out there's a mistake. He thinks that he has 30 barrels over there. He doesn't have any barrels over there. Let's say every barrel has a number. So he says, a mafrish barrel number one should be truma, and he only has 50 barrels. So he has 25 barrels here, 25 barrels there, and each barrel has a number. So he says, a mafrish barrel number one, which is in the other barn, that should be the truma for everything. And then it's going to be mafrish, and maserish, and maserish, and everything. Then he's going to drink the wine, then it's going to come out. That barrel number one already didn't exist at the time that he was mafrish at his truma. So the whole afresh of his truma was a mistake. So Rashi says the whole requirement for mukaf is a chashash mederabanan, that you may by mistake be mafrish and you're relying on nothing, that there's nothing there. Taisus disagrees with Rashi, and Taisus says it's not true. It's a drasha in the Sifrei. It's a real drasha gemura daraisa. The issue is like this. The Mishnah says if you mafrish aloy min amukaf, so b'diyevet it is chal. You did an aveiri, you did wrong, but b'diyevet it is chal. So do you ever have a din l'chatchila daraisa in a matir? That's the shayla we mentioned many times this year. The Tosis in the end of Nida writes that it doesn't make sense in a matir to require, let's say you give a get. So is there a mitzvah l'chatchila that it should be a golden get? It should be engraved on a piece of gold, and you should get a sefer who knows how to write beautifully, the best sefer and the most expensive parchment, and put it in a case. No, there's no hider mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. A get is a matir. It's not a mitzvah. So when you're talking about a mitzvah, so you can have such a concept as l'chatchila should be a mitzvah b'shleimusa. Taisus gives the mashal from chalitza. L'chatchila you should have chalitza and the rikika and the kriyas ha'psukim. And b'di'evit if you do the chalitza without the rikika and without the kriyas ha'psukim, so b'di'evit you yoytze the mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa. But it's a l'chatchila deraisa because it's a mitzvah. So we can talk about a concept of performing a mitzvah b'shleimusa. But if you're talking about a matir, it doesn't make sense to talk about a l'chatchila and a b'di'evit. If it's muta b'di'evit, it's muta l'chatchila. What are you accomplishing? So that's what Tosfos says, that this is a l'chatchila deraisa. You have to be mafrish min amukaf, b'di'evit. If you're mafrish lo min amukaf, it'll be good. So if one should assume that afreshes trumas amaisis is only a matir, that's a Mogen Avram has like that. Mogen Avram asim aches writes, afreshes trumas amaisis is only a matir. So if it's only a matir, so how does it make sense to have a l'chatchila deraisa? So obviously Tosfos thinks, not like the Mogen Avram, Tosfos and Afreshes Trumas HaMaisus is a mitzvah, so then it is shaykh to have a l'chatchila. But maybe that was what was bothering Rashi. Maybe Rashi held that Afreshes Trumas HaMaisus is only a matir, it's not a mitzvah, so it doesn't make sense. How can you say that it's a l'chatchila deraisa? So he said it's only a din derabon. The whole din of mukaf is only a din derabon. But that's a big machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. One of the Al-Ghazis in the 1700s put out a whole sefer on this, Ara derabonon. He has alphabetically arranged al-pi aleph base every din, and he discusses, is it a din deraisa, a din derabbanan? He has a short paragraph for each one. Asmachta lo kanya, is it a din deraisa, a din derabbanan? He says, the Bach says it's a din derabbanan, and the other one, the Mordechai, based on the Mordechai, and the other one disagrees, it's a din deraisa. It was like an encyclopedia. In the 1700s, the Sfardish Gedolim started writing encyclopedias. So this is one of them, Ara derabbanan.
Rabbi mentioned Teres v'Yitzhar. About
the
mafrish from fruit juices, like oranges,
or
anything that
might
be
a zeb almond. That's an issue. The Gemara says if you have oranges that are truma, and you squeeze out the juice, so the Gemara says that zeb alma. So what does it mean? It's zeb alma. It doesn't have the din of truma. It's not called a pri. So the Pashto says that you can't be mafrish on juice. You can't be mafrish juices. The only two juices that the halacha recognizes as a pri are olive oil and wine. they have the status like a pri. But all the other orange juices, the Gemara says, vegetable juices, all the others are zeh b'alma. They don't have the status of a pri. So if it doesn't have the status of a pri, it shouldn't be able to be mafresh. It should remain tevel, should have an isa tevel, it shouldn't be able to be mafresh. That's how Avelva of Soloveitchik said. You have to be mafresh oranges when they're still in the state of oranges. Because once you're going to make orange juice out of it, it's impossible to be koreshem truma, because truma is not chal on zeh b'alma. That's what he said. The Chazanish disagreed with the Ravelvela, and he said, Manavshach, if you say there's still an Issa Tevel, you're assuming that there's a possibility to be Mafresh, Chumas, and Maisa. If there's no possibility to be Mafresh, then there can't be an Issa Tevel. The Issa Tevel should go away. Ravelvela Soloveitchik had a Shita Mukubetzis in the middle of Menachas, the end of Menachas, where he pointed out an innocent comment. She gives a case where you have an Issa Tevel and there's no way to be Mafresh. So he said, you see that there's such a possibility. You have an Issa Tevel and it's impossible to be Mafresh. Then Ravelva Soloveitchik added on, that's how they say, Balpeh, that you think that this is a little detail machlekes between me and the Chazanish. No, this is a fundamental machlekes in Hashkofa. He thinks, the Chazanish thinks, that every problem has a solution. Chazanish was a happy, cheerful, happy-go-lucky fellow. And he always came up with a solution for every problem. And Rav Elbala was a morose individual. Even his most beloved Talmidim admit to that. He was very, maybe it's only after his wife and children were killed in the war. Maybe he became morose because of that. But in the later years, when he came to Eretzel, he was very dead serious. But even the Talmidim who knew him before, they also said he was always over serious. So the Brisk Rav said that he thinks, the Chazanish thinks, that every problem has a solution. And I think that there are certain problems that there's just no solution. Also, and there's no solution, that's all. That was the machlekes by the orange juice. Ravelvela held, you have to be mafresh the oranges. Once you made juice out of it, it's too late. It remains an isa tevel. A yotzim and a aser remains tevel, because the oranges were tevel, the rabbanon, okay? According to the Rama, mold perisila and adereisa, but we don't pask like that. We pask like the Bali Atesis. Only dog, the Rama passing is like the Bali Atesis. Only dog and tirish v'yitzer is deraisa, yeah. And the Chazanish said, Imanavshach, if you say it has an Issa Tevel, so you're assuming that you're able to be Mafresh, Trumas, and Mises. If you say it's impossible to be Mafresh, you can't retain an Issa Tevel. Whole idea of Tevel is that you're able to be Mafresh, Trumas, and Mises. You see, to create an Issa Tevel, to initiate an Issa Tevel, to start off, it can't become an Issa Tevel until you have a Chiyuv to be Mafresh, Trumas, and Mises. But the question is to retain an Issa Tevel. Do you always require a possibility of being Mafresh, Trumas, and Mises, or no? It can retain an Issa Tevel, and there's no way to be Mafresh, Trumas, and Mises on it. So that was the Machlekes, the Chazanish, and the Briska Rav. It's really a Machlekes, a discussion in Rishonim, in other cases, by the Kuach.
The Meister with orange juice, would it change having to do with it? The fruit was used to squeezing it out, maybe Gavi Brachos to it.
Right, that's a big machlekes, the Rosh and the Rashbo. Why did we single out only Omashkem Ayotzim and Azesim and Minanovim? They have a din of pri, and the Mashkem from the other Paris we call Zeh B'Alma. Why did we decide only Zesim and Anovim? So the Rosh assumes, because the Torah is always speaking about the importance of wine and olive oil. So the Torah speaks about the Hashivas. So that's why all the other Paris don't count. And the Rashba says, but you're saying, no. Because Bisman HaTorah, Bisman Matan Torah, they never made orange juice. They never made grapefruit juice. They never made all the juices. But if all of these things were planted, and they have vineyards, but they have so many, they have orchards, wherever, where they plant all of these oranges in order to make juice from it. So then, according to the Rashba, it would be Bar Pihoitz on the juice. It wouldn't be Zeh B'Alma. So that's the Machlekes, the Rashba and the Rosh. Most people say Shehakol on orange juice. The Chazanish holds you have to say like the Rashba. The Chazanish passing like the Rashba, like you said. Since they planted these are juice oranges. These are not eating oranges. So juice oranges were planted al das to make juice. So that should be Bari Prihoitz. And it should be Dino Kipri. You should be able to be Mafresh Shumas and Mises from it. A friend of mine tells me that he learned in Yeshiva Kol Torah the first year that they appointed Rabbi Neuwirth as a Magid Shir, the one who wrote the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chosam. So he was giving a Bekiah Shia then, Ketzan Avorchim. So the Mashgiach from the Yeshiva came in to give a Bechina. So he asked one of the boys, what bracha do you say on orange juice? So the boy says, it depends where you live. So Rabbi Neuwirth had a big smile on his face, because that was the answer that he told him. The Menahel says, the Mashgiach says, what does that mean? So the kid says, if you live in Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish is Mar Da'asra, and you say Bari Pruheitz. If you live anywhere else in the world, the Pesach is like the Rosh, that you say Shahar. That's what the Rebbe told him. That's a machlag, is the Rosh and the Rashbah and the Chazon Ish, that you pass like the Rashbah. That it's not only Mashkem HaYotzman and Zeis Mandav, because Zeis Mandav are planted, Al Das came. Then the Torah has a din of Pidyon HaBen, repeat it again. The way the Pasuk reads, it says, the Kohen should do the Pidyon HaBen. Ach Pado Tivdes Bechor HaAdam. He tells the Kohen, you do, what is the Kohen? The Kohen, by receiving the money, is doing Pidyon HaBen. There's a discussion that Pre-Chodesh started, that's founded, that doesn't belong there, it's found in the Choshe Mishpat. You have it picked up by the Ktzayis HaChoshe and the Nesivis. The Gemara talks about the possibility of giving truma to a kohen katan who's not yet bar mitzvah. So a katan cannot make any kinyan menator. So the pre-chodesh is bothered with akasha. He's supposed to give matnas kohuna to the kohen. He's supposed to give the truma to the kohen. The kohen can't be kohen of the truma. So when you give the truma to a kohen katan, how is he kohen? So how are you yotze the din derais? That's the kasha the pre-chodesh asks. So he answers, based on Tosfos, that Tosfos writes in Sanhedrin, Daf Samaches, and Beis, whenever there's Das Acheres Makta, the Kohen can't be Kohen in a Torah if he wants to be Zeichem in a Hefker. But if someone gives him a Matana, if a Gadol, an adult after Bar Mitzvah, gives a gift to the Kohen Katan, so Tosfos' sheet is, and that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, whenever there's Das Acheres Makta, then the Katan can be Kohen in a Torah. So that's what the Pre-Chodesh answers. The farmer gives it to the Kohen, so the farmer is Bar Mitzvah. So since it's a Das Acheres Makta, so the Katan is Kohen in a Torah. So on that teretz of the Pre-Chodosh, the Ktzayis HaChoshen quotes that. So he says, he argues with that. He said, that's not a valid answer. He says, that would only be true if the farmer's right to give the truma to the kohen of his choice, that's called Toivus HaNoah. If you would say Toivus HaNoah Mamon, the Gemara has a machlekes HaTanoim, whether Toivus HaNoah Mamon or Toivus HaNoah Ein Mamon. So the Ktzayis quotes different Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, if Toivus HaNoah Mamon means that the farmer is makna the truma to the kohen. But we pass in Toivus HaNoah Ein Mamon. I have a right to pick which kohen, but once I pick the kohen, I'm not makna it. It's not my mominess. It's the Torah says I should pick the kohen of my choice, but the kohen has to be zeich on his own. It's Ein Mamon, so I can't be makna. So that's the taina that the Ktzayis HaChoshen has against the Pre-Chodesh. So the Ktzayis answers the kasha. He says, who says, the Ktzayis answers the kasha, and he says, based on the Pasuk in today's Sedra, it says that the Kohanim and the Levim get Truma and Meiser, Sachu hu lachem, chelef avedaschem be'oil moed. This is Chivas Poyolim. If I hire a worker and he does the work for me, if I hire a painter to paint my apartment, I hire a mechanic to fix my car, it's broken. And I make up whatever it's going to cost per hour, I'm going to pay. So there's a din of schiras poilim, sei mechuyev. So the Torah says the Kohanim and the Levim are doing avodah in the Beis Hamikdash on our behalf. They're makar tminim and mesafim and everything every day. They do shmiras hamikdash. So you got to pay them some salary. So the Torah says the trumas and the maizes that you give asachu hu lachem chelaf abidaschem al moed. It's a din of schiras poilim. So then the Ktzayis says, but even though a kohen katan is possible to do avodah until bar mitzvah, so how can you consider it chivas poilim to the katan? So he says it's a loy plug deraisa. Okay, so what's the teretz? So still, how do you give to the katan? So he quotes that same Tosfos in Sanhedrin Samachesim and Beis, that Tosfos is asking how can a katan acquire ownership of property? Is zechem and a hefker? So is zechem and a hefker is only with the rabbanon. So Tosfos says if a gadol, an adult, gives him something, das acheres makna, then he's kind of. Or Tosfos said, let's say I hire the little child to wash the windows. So I say, if you wash the window, I'll pay you a dollar. If you deliver the paper, I'll give you a nickel. So the kid goes and he buys the paper for me, and he did the action, so I have to give him the nickel. So Tosfos says, I owe him the nickel because of schiras poilim. So then when I make the nickel available to him, he's kind of without any need for him to make a ma'aseh kinyan. Whenever you're paying somebody money that you owe them, you're paying a chov, there's no need for a ma'aseh kinyan. That's what Tosfos says. I make a piron a chov. When you make a perua, it means I make it accessible to the person, so then it's called parua. So by virtue of the fact that the chov is parua, the money is nicknamed to the other person. Unless he says, I refuse to be kaina, I don't want it. So he can't be kaina bal karcha. But if he doesn't say, I don't want it, then he's kaina without any need for a maisa kinyan at all. So that's what the Ktzais quotes a rai from that Tosfos. And he says, the Kohanim are entitled to collect the Truma, and the Levim are entitled to collect maisa because it's chivas poelim. So there's a chiva mechiv to give it to them. So when I make it available to them, the mele, the chov is parua, this chivas poelim is parua. So the mele, it's nicknamed to them. So the Nesivus is not happy with that answer that the Ktzai said. So he says, the Ktzai himself shlugged up his answer. The Ktzai himself ripped it apart. He says, a cotton can't do avodah. The whole kasha was, the Prichodesh was bothered with the kasha. How can a cotton be kind of the truma? So the Ktzai is coming to answer the kasha. So he says that it's schiris poilim, but then he says the cotton is possible to do avodah. The Ktzai says, well, it's a loiplug. So he says, you yourself made fun of your own answer. There is no schiris poilim by a cotton. Cotton doesn't do avodah by some ignorance. So the Nesivus gives a different answer. He says that the mitzvah of matan skuna to give to the Kohanim, to give to Levim, just means to make it accessible to them, they should be able to eat it. It doesn't require that the Kohen or the Levi should be Kohen at all. Who says they have to be Kohen? They don't have to be Kohen. I just make it accessible, and there's no need for them to be Kohen. So this is a whole hullabaloo regarding Truma. Then in conjunction with that, there's a discussion, can you give Pidyon HaBen money to a Kohen cotton or not? So there's a discussion, some achrayim want to say, you can give Pidyon HaBen money bal korcha of the kohen. It's piron achoiv. Pidyon HaBen may be more mistaber that it's piron achoiv than trumas amaisis. So since Pidyon HaBen is maybe piron achoiv, maybe yeah, maybe no, maybe it's considered piron achoiv. So if the Torah is piron achoiv, you can even be parei achoiv bal korcha, even if the guy's not happy with it. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. That seems to be against the pasuk in today's sedra. It says, "Ach podos if des b'chor ha'odom." It's the mashmos of the pasuk is that the kohen is actively participating in the pidyon ha'ben by his accepting the money. Midaito, he's doing the pidyon ha'ben. Not just the father does the pidyon ha'ben on his own. The father with the kohen accomplished. So it doesn't make sense that the father should have the ability to give the money of the pidyon ha'ben to the kohen bal korchoi. Say piron bal korchoi shmei piron. That's if I really owe money to someone. Then there's a din piron b'kach. But here there's an addition to owing money. Maybe instead, maybe he doesn't owe any money. It's a mitzvah pidyon ha'ben. You have to do a ma'aseh pidyon. So the pidyon sounds like it has to have the active participation of the kohen, midaito. If you do a pidyon ha'ben b'kach, the pashto says that you're not yotze.
Don't the Levim only start working 25 or 30, so how can they take even when they're 15?
Right. The same kasha against the ksais. That the Ktzais himself is by Kohanim before by mitzvahs or by Levim before the age of 30 or Bizman Hazeh, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So why did the Kohanim Levim have a right to get anything? They're all laid off from work. They're all unemployed. They're not doing anything. Yeah, so you can't take it literally. Sachu hulachem. Chelef avedaschem. You can't take it literally. Can't be. Rashi quotes from the Sifrei on the Pasuk here, Pasuk Chavdal, Kes Maisim and Esau Shearim al Hashem Truma, Nasati Lalvim Lanachala. The Maisim is given to the Levim and it's called Truma. Why is Maisim called Truma? Truma is Truma and Maisim is Maisim. So Rashi says, until the Levi takes out the Maisim and a Maisim, the whole Maisim is called Truma. What kind of business is that? So there's an interesting machlekes in Tanoim and Mishnais between Bishama and Bisilo. The Gemara quotes it also, where the matana shalai hurma kemishu hurma damyan, alav kemishu hurma damyan. Machlokes is like this: once you brought ma'aseh sheni into Yerushalayim, so there's a din called tuhu mechitzas. Mechitzah Yerushalayim akolit the ma'aseh sheni with respect to two dinim. Number one, you're not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. Number two, even if you did take it out, you can't be paid in the ma'aseh sheni anymore. Once it was brought into Yerushalayim, can't be paid anymore. So the Mishnah in Ma'aseh Sheni, Masechet Ma'aseh Sheni, presents Machlokes Bisham and Bisilo. Fellow's driving a truck, and the truck has tevel on it. It doesn't have Ma'aseh Sheni. It has tevel that it wasn't marfish anything from. So he drives into the old city, then he drives out. So Bisilo of the opinion, Matana Shalah Hurma Kemisha Hurma Dami, the Ma'aseh Sheni is there. So it's called Tuhu Mechitzes. So once the Ma'aseh Sheni was brought, once the tevel was brought into the old city, you're not allowed to take it out. And even if you take it out, it doesn't lend itself to pidyon. Kaltur Mechitzis. And Beishamai disagrees, Batana Shalahum, Alav Kemishahum Adam. So that's a big machlekes harishayin. Am I supposed to take that literally? Matana shalahurmu kemishahurmu means that the truma is there, it's mixed in. And when you curry shem truma, you just mavara where it is. And the maisusheni is there. So that's why Rashi writes. Rashi and a whole group of rishayim hold like that. We follow Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is to be taken literally. Whenever you have tevel, the tevel is truma psicha bei. That's the Lashon HaGemara. The truma is mixed, blended into the tevel. Rashi Sheet and Yevamah says that the iser against eating tevel is because you're eating truma. So Tosfos says a kohen should be allowed to eat tevel. A kohen is allowed to eat truma. If the whole iser against eating tevel is because it has truma mixed in, so it should only be prohibited for a non-kohen to eat it. But a kohen should be allowed to eat tevel. So Tosfos says that against Rashi and disagrees. Tosfos says the prohibition against eating tevel has nothing to do with the fact that truma psicha bei. But that's a big machlokes harishayim. Do you take it literally? Do you say really that the truma is floating around, and the reason why non-kohen is not allowed to eat it is because taka truma psicha bei? So Rashi always takes it literally. Oh, there's so many drushes. V'nechsho lechem chumaschem, ken titnu gamatem. The rabbi says hashaliach. So many halachas of truma. Everything is based on this parsha. All the dinim. Kama v'kama halachas. Everything based on today's parsha. Okay. Truma psicha bei, yes. Yes, he does. And this machlokes is Rashi and Tosfos, yeah.